Thank you, Julian. We join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and the hearing, the reading of scripture and the hearing of your word. And we give you this time and ask that what is spoken will ring with truth. What is heard and understood be touched by your spirit. And what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. The Bible and the newspaper. The classic way of producing a sermon, of reflecting on the life of faith. There is plenty in the Bible, as we have just been hearing. Nice stories and, let's face it, sometimes difficult stuff as well. As for the newspapers, and I suppose we should today add things like television and radio and social media, well, you don't have to be a news junkie, which is what my children refer to me as, but you don't have to be a news junkie to know that there is a huge amount of newsworthy stuff out there. Political showdowns at English country houses. The 70th anniversary of the NHS. Those boys deep in a flooded cave in Thailand, the rescue has begun. We shall be praying later. That couple hanging on to life by a thread in Salisbury. England at the World Cup. Come on, England. Football's coming home. So much. That's without mentioning Lewis Hamilton at Silverstone this afternoon. Maybe he will win. Shame that Carl Edmund lost at Wimbledon yesterday afternoon. Still, so much. So much more. More news last week. News that disappears from view, but will no doubt re-emerge again in coming weeks. So much. The Bible and the newspaper. Sometimes they can be brought together very easily. Too easily, perhaps. You know those US TV evangelists, I've mentioned one or two of them before. Well, one of them this week came up with the idea that Trump is God's last leader before the end. He found it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a verse in which it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But it only works in the King James Version, of course, which isn't really a problem for him, though it may be for many of the rest of us. See what happens if you're not careful when you bring the Bible and the newspaper together. If you try and relate the life of faith to the modern world, you can't not do it, but if you do do it, be careful. You can't not look at the signs of the times and wonder where God is, but be careful that you do not misinterpret the signs of the times. You cannot not look for God to be at work in today's world, but be careful that if you look for him, you do not just find what you are looking for, and your God becomes a little bit too small. You can't not, but be careful. Because there is something else. The visions of Daniel, the readings, and the presentation that Rachel did for us illustrate those visions. We won't go into them all again, but perhaps the most telling phrase, I'm not sure we heard it read, is great things. All those details, the beasts and so on, needn't concern us too much. Plenty of scholars have and continue to wrestle with who the beasts might be. Greece, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, any of those. much as they continue to do today with Revelation, of which the US television evangelists finding Trump in the Bible is only the extreme end. But none of that need really concern us. The people who were first trying to interpret the signs of the times when they heard the book of Daniel, they might have known exactly who he was referring to. But none of that need concern us, only great things, dreams, visions of the vast, great things of God over and above and beyond the world. Today's newspaper world, over, beyond Brexit, Thailand caves, Amesbury, the Rohingya, Syria, still in all its gut-wrenching agony, gone quiet for a while, but be sure it will be in our headlines again soon enough. Is there anything over all this? I think possibly what our world needs, what our lives need more than anything else today, is a sense of hope, a deep sense that over and beyond and above and under it all the misery, all the fear, all the conflict, all the impossible ads, all the failure and the frailty, yes, and all the success and celebration as well, is hope, a deep sense of the great, vast things of God. Daniel is in many ways the end point of the Old Testament. No, not in order. There are lots of books of prophets and so on after Daniel. But Daniel saying the last things to be said to the people of God in that far off time. And the last things to be said are much like the last things to be said in the New Testament for and to the people of God to whom we belong. The last things to be said? Over all the world's clashing empires, its persecutions, its injustices, its sufferings and triumphs and achievements, the great vast things of God. Maybe the most important part of the visions of Daniel is his vision of one like a human being. Gabriel, apparently, bringing the interpretation of the visions. Incidentally, there were lots of visions in those days, but many of the other prophets and seers of the other religions had special books full of codes by which they could work out what they meant. Daniel's visions are revealed to him in another vision by one like a human being. Right at the heart, right at the center of all these things are the vast things of God. Imagine this, if you can, this mystery. That at the center of the universe, stretching out over the vast, unfathomable distances of space. Don't suppose Daniel would have known much about space, but we at least know how vast it is. Over all of that, today, visions of the vast things of God stretch beyond today's clashing empires on earth and all this vastness. And at the center of it all, giving meaning and purpose to it all, you could say, is one like a human being. That's where we are, my friends. That's what we bang on about in here week by week. It is because we dare to believe that over and under and beyond and above the newspaper world, actually, and over the Bible world as well, in some parts of the Christian church, that would be considered blasphemous. to suggest that there could be anything beyond the Bible, my perspective is that the Bible and its dreams and visions and stories and poetry direct us to the vast and hopeful and deep sense of God in the form of Jesus Christ. That's why today the Daniel visions have been placed alongside the glorious, hopeful sign that opens the book of Revelation. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke. And I saw seven golden lampstands, and in their midst I saw one like a human being, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. Eyes like a flame of fire. Feet like burnished bronze, voice like the sound of many waters. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forevermore." One like a human being, see. Not Gabriel as in Daniel, Jesus Christ. The sign of God at the heart of, before and under and over and beyond and above, the whole universe, the first and the last, the vast things of God in the shape and form of a human being like you and me. So tell it to the world, the newspaper world and the Bible world as well. Tell it to the US TV evangelists, tell it to the Thai schoolboys, tell it to the NHS, to the Rohingya, to the government, tell it to your aching, grieving, rejoicing heart. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forevermore.